Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is
constantly late, Aaron O'Brien.
How would any one of our listeners know that?
Oh, well, by the aggravation in everyone's voices.
And as they say, all good things must come to an end, so this will be the last episode of Synthaholics.
No. Is it?
What?
Oh, no.
Is it the last? Oh, it's the last episode of Star Trek. Next Generation. My bad. I didn't mean to scare everybody. Yes. And we have a special guest with us tonight. Jerrica Wilson. I was going to say Jerrica, and that's why I was like, but she's a cosplayer. She goes by Jerricandra Cosplay?
Yeah, Jerricandra.
Jerricandra. I didn't put the right emphasis on the C.
There you go. I think everyone took a huge sigh of relief when we said this was the last episode.
It's like, yes! I don't have to listen to you assholes anymore.
It's over. Yeah, but we have our guest, and this is an episode that you requested, correct?
Yes, it is. It's one of my favorite episodes. I actually hadn't watched it since I was a kid, since it aired.
It's a wonderful episode.
Wow, since it aired? I've seen it like at least 3 or 4 years ago.
I've seen it quite a few times.
I've seen it a few times, but I mean, because of the show starting like 2.5 years ago, it's been at least 3 since I've seen it. Because I know it was on a Voyager DS9 Binger before we started the show.
Well, in case you don't know what we're talking about, if you don't know Star Trek that well, we're talking about the Next Generation episode, All Good Things, and it's Season 7, the last season, and the very last two shows, well, they're bunched together, episode 25 and 26. So it's an hour and 30 or 40 minutes long episode.
It's a fantastic, fantastic two-parter. So if you have been listening since the beginning of the show, and you've heard Natalie Schlittman on our show twice, mm-hmm. Jerrica is responsible for introducing us to Natalie.
That's your fault.
Yeah, hopefully that's like a good thing.
It's great.
We were blown away how knowledgeable, because sometimes people come in and they're just like, you know, like they know about Star Trek, but she knew so much Star Trek, and she was throwing stuff out to like, oh my God, you know this, you
or
know that.
Or she'd correct us on things.
Oh, she corrected us quite a few times. That's not hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is one of the most knowledgeable Trekkies that I know. And so when, I think it was David, you contacted me originally, right?
Yes.
And I was like, well, I don't know when I'll be ready to go on that show. I'll have to like pick through some episodes, because like I said, I haven't even watched this episode in years. But I was like, but I know someone who would probably love to be on your show and might give you a run for your money.
Yeah, she definitely
does. She does, and I definitely want to have her on some more.
I wish she'd give me back my $2 now.
She took your $2 bill?
$2!
Your only $2 bill?
You know what? They still make $2 bills?
They do?
Yes. You can go to the bank and request them.
That's awesome. Yeah. I should do that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I want everything in twos, please.
Just pay them, everyone.
I want $2,000 in twos.
Be hilarious. You go to the convenience store, give them $2.
Everyone will hate you. Yes, it's like, yes, I spend only cash I use are twos.
$2 bill.
Are you sure you want it? They're like, no. It's like, a bum on the side of the road. He's like, hey, got some change. All I got is a two. He's like, no.
I don't want
a $2 bill.
I don't want your funny money.
So you do cosplay like Natalie. Can you tell us a little bit about that and anything upcoming you've got going on?
Sure. So I've been cosplaying for a few years, and I started out, I actually fell into it from modeling, which is kind of funny. I met my best friend because she was, she's been a costume designer and cosplayer for many years, and she had a fashion show where she had to show off a bunch of her costumes, and so she needed models. And so after I walked in that show for her, in one of her like Renaissance dresses or something, I was like, it was right after the Avengers came out, and I was like, I really need you to make me like a Black Widow suit. And and so she did, and then she kind of like took me to PAX, actually.
Is this Abby?
Yeah, Abby.
Abby, so awesome.
She took me to PAX and kind of showed me the ropes of like cosplay and conventions. And within, I think, the next year at PAX, I made my first costume at that point. So yeah, it's been a couple of years, and now I make a lot of my own stuff. I taught myself how to make latex garments as well, so I've been making latex costumes too.
That's fancy.
And how? Yeah. Like, did you have an interest in this before, or is this purely just fell completely into it when it all starts coming? I mean, because obviously you said you did the modeling, but then right. It must have been something like, hey, that looks pretty cool. Let's do this.
Yeah, actually, I'm a long time geek and nerd of like superheroes and stuff. Like, I followed Smallville. Mm-hmm. Didn't really get into comics.
That's dedication. Was that 24 seasons?
It's a long run.
Unfortunately, it's only 10. I know. I wanted more, but he did fly in the last episode.
He did, and I kind of hoped that they were going to take it into a movie after that, but they never did.
Yeah, I really wanted him to be the new Superman and Supergirl show.
I agree. They should have done that. I mean, there's just let's not get in down that road, because it's very long and very treacherous.
And disappointing.
Very disappointing. So you're a big fan of Smallville and superheroes. And you decided that cosplay seems like a way you wanted to go, or how'd that work?
Yeah. So I'm actually a software developer by trade.
Okay.
And so I actually compare cosplay a lot to that, because it involves creation. So you're creating something, you're creating this costume, you're writing this code, and you're
lots
seeing
of math.
It work. Yeah. And then on the other side, that is the showing off part. And so when I write an app, like I write iPhone apps, so if I write an app, you know, I can show it off. And same kind of thing with the costume. I make a costume and I walk around at conventions and get pictures and kind of, hey, you know, I made this. And yes. And it's a great feeling.
Yeah, definitely. When you have a creation and you see it through and it's all done correctly in the best way you can possibly make it, and you can be very proud of what you can, you know, put out, and just... It's a wonderful feeling, especially when people, you know, reciprocate that feeling. It's like, wow, that's a cool costume, or that's a cool product you put out, or whatever it is. It makes you feel good, you know. It doesn't feel like you're working in a coal mine.
Not a damn canary. No. Well. But, I reached out to Jerrica because I followed her cosplay page for at least a couple of years. And, either late last year or early this year, you went to a karaoke dressed in TOS dress. And I was like, oh my God, you must be a Star Trek fan. I do a Star Trek podcast. Please come on our show. And then you blocked me. No.
She's like, no.
Talk to the hand.
And that's what you gave us, Natalie. He's like, no.
Yeah, I was like, no. So even now, even making my own stuff, once in a while, Abby will make some stuff for both of us. And so that those Star Trek dresses, she actually got the pattern. It's the official pattern from the show, and made those. And yeah, that's kind of our first Star Trek cosplay stuff. But we both have plans to do others too.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And is there any hints you can give, or is that all under wraps?
No, I could say that I want to do Deanna Troi at some point, then also Seven of Nine. So, but there's no timelines for those yet.
just working them out. Yeah.
Dreams right now.
Right now I'm working on Batgirl of Burnside from the comics, primarily. But then we're going to Dragon Con this year in Atlanta, and we have a ton of costumes, like almost like mini costumes, planned for that as well.
And awesome. And do you like change? Like once per day, or is it like during the show?
I try to only have a costume per day. I know people that do multiple costumes in one day, and it's just kind of a pain. I think we are gonna do, I don't know if you guys have seen the new Netflix show Glow at all yet.
You know, I've seen it, but I haven't watched it yet.
That's the wrestling one.
Yeah.
I kind of want to watch that.
It's pretty good, and so we weren't planning to do that, but apparently we're going to do that, and it's on a day we're already doing another costume, so I'm actually breaking my rule, and I'm going to do Savage Land, Shauna the She-Devil. day, as well as a glow character. So
wow, nice, interesting, very
sounds
cool.
Like, sounds like a lot of fun.
Absolutely, yeah. That's going to be wonderful.
I want to go to Dragon Con one day. That just sounds so awesome.
Yeah, it's our first time, so we'll see how it goes.
I've heard nothing but good things about Dragon Con. It's huge, but I mean, except for just being in Atlanta, because Atlanta is a nightmare to wade through on any day, yeah, much less on a con day.
Everybody says it's really hot, and so you're only supposed to like wear like the skimpiest costumes and stuff. So
oh, there you go. Well, no complaints on the male persuasion there. So, well, should we jump into our episode here?
Aye, aye.
All right. So we have, like I said, this is All Good Things, Season 7, Episode 25 and 26. This first came out on May 23rd, 1994, and it was written by Ronald D. Moore and Brandon Braga, and directed by Winrich Kolb.
The same two guys that penned Generations. I don't know how. Don't know how at all, because this episode is beautiful, and Generations is anything but. But I think Generations, they got stuck with like a checklist from the studio.
I'm sure.
So, I mean, I feel like
It
wasn't all their fault. It was like the studio, like, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And then they had to like connect the dots the only
so
way
many
could.
Jokes at the end of this going into Generations. It's hilarious. Anyways, we'll get to all those hilarious jokes later
in the hour.
Yes. So anyways, we start off with the holodeck. I'm going to do this pretty quick, that Lieutenant Worf and Troy are coming out of the holodeck, and they're
it was stimulating.
This having a stimulating moment.
Very stimulating.
They were doing it on the beach. Come on.
Yeah, by the Black
Sea. That's why she's so disappointed in his description of it.
And Captain Picard runs up to them and says, what's the day's date? And it's star date 47988. And he's like, 47988. Oh, that's right. That's the date.
That's the way it should be.
But he tells Troy that he's been moving back through time. So then we have the next act after that beginning, that he's in Troy's quarters, and he's explaining how he's getting in these experiences where he's in the past and then he's in the future, but he can't seem to make out what's happened. He just has these very... It seems
they're unclear. They're very vague.
Very vague, but he does definitely... Things feel very real. And she's saying, well, maybe it's a dream. Maybe this isn't actually happening. It's like, no, it's not a dream. This is... It feels very different than...
Have you been doing cocaine, Picard? You got to lay off that.
Yes, very much so.
Well, he is in his PJs. So, yeah.
I love those PJs.
They're not the shiny ones, though.
I know he got out of the shiny PJs, but, you know, as a cosplay, that would be kind of funny to do.
Well, you know, last episode, I definitely want to do the O'Brien physical cosplay.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
The physical gown. I just walk around in the physical
gown. But
nobody
would even get it. They'd just be like, you're just a guy in a bathrobe.
No! Or I could do the Spock one. It's like, he was walking around the bathroom for the entire Star Trek 4.
Star Trek 4, right. So,
a little bit more iconic than O'Brien, I guess.
Well, while Troy's talking about that, he all of a sudden he jumps into his future where he's an old man now, and he's in a vineyard, and he's putting tying vines to these lines.
To make sure his grapes don't droop.
Yes. They drooped a long time ago.
That's what a cup's for.
That's... All right, so LaForge comes up and he's like, Captain Picard to the bridge, and it's obviously...
I feel like that's really insulting, especially since he's coming to visit him because he knows he's got a brain disease, and to do that to an old
man... He's like,
man, what? It's like, what?
What? I have to get to the bridge!
Sorry, torpedoes! Anyway, it just seems kind of mean, especially since they say he's got a brain disease and he's like, he could go crazy at any moment.
And he thinks he's Don Quixote or something like that. Anyway, so he does have some disease called Iremodic syndrome. Am I pronouncing that? It's Iremodic syndrome.
Iremodic, yeah.
Iremodic syndrome. So he has a syndrome. Basically, it could be a long, painful death. It is a neurological disease that takes place in his brain. So we don't know much more about that.
It seems like it's kind of Alzheimer's because they say he could go crazy at any moment. Or it's the way it kind of seems like it is, because the way Patrick Stewart plays the scenes when he's older and everyone thinks he's crazy, it comes off as Alzheimer's-esque because he's talking about past things.
He's doing a wonderful job of that at that point where he's...
I love it. I love how he's playing it like he's...
There's
like
a lot of old man stuff he does, which is amazing. Just even how he licks his lips, how he No, I mean, just if you watch his performance.
His mannerisms.
His mannerisms are wonderful. Like, I don't know if he just hung around an old folks home for like a couple days and just like picked up on a couple of, oh, I'm using that.
But it was, so, yeah, it's, I love it. It's like, yes, Data. What the fuck, Data?
Well, anyway, so.
Worf. It's like he forgot about Worf. It's great.
So, yeah, it's like he forgets about everybody and remembers them. So, while he's walking back with Geordi back to his house, all of a sudden he's seeing these weird gimpy creatures or people that are shouting and making mocking him. Teletubbies yelling at him. So
they're laughing at him.
Geordi doesn't see it, obviously, but then he's like, well, let's go see Data. Maybe we can figure this stuff out. But then he jumps to the shuttlecraft with Tasha Yar, which we had not seen.
And, I mean, we've seen her, Sela, but, I mean, since the first season, yes. We haven't seen her as Tasha.
When she dies.
Oh, no, yesterday's Enterprise, season 3, we saw her.
Yeah, we did see her, yes. So, anyways, so, they're going to see...
I get choked up a little bit of that scene.
It's weird. Yeah. You know what's really weird is how well they made them all look. Very
like
much.
They did back in and they even like took off like the detailing behind the captain's chair for whenever they were.
They did a lot
back, on season one stuff.
Picard looks somehow younger. I don't know how they did that.
Yeah,
but he does look like he's younger. Like he's from the earlier seasons, and it's pretty cool.
The scene got me choked up a little bit, and then like what totally ruined it was like, oh look, there's the Enterprise. They're right up on it. It's like you didn't see it from like. However many miles away you were, you just now saw it.
She was flying.
When it's like taking up your...
She was flying real fast. So anyway, so they come to see the Enterprise for their first time. And they're going into basically, this is just before a counter at Farpoint, where he's taking command of the ship. Next, we see that he's back in Troy's quarters, and he's like, I was just in the shuttlecraft. When he sees Tasha again. So then we have him back into sickbay. Sickbay Crusher's looking at him, CMT hallucination.
Gets a CAT scan.
Yeah, he's getting all sorts of.
She's getting the Crusher scan.
The Crusher scan. Man, they really turned up the heat between these two.
It's about time. They hinted at it in the second episode.
Well, a couple episodes.
She like unzipped a little bit in that episode, Naked Time or Now. I can't ever remember which one's which season, but she like unzips a little bit. She's like, I totally want to do you, Picard. I think it's the thing talking, and then they don't.
They were drunk or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's the thing talking, but it's like it's been hinted at since the second episode. They finally, I think it's the first time they've kissed.
Well,
Don't quote me on it, but it's
there is another time to kiss, but I think that's further in the seasons. I can't remember. But anyways, she scans for the Iromotic syndrome, and she says she doesn't see any signs order, but there's a defect in one of his lobes of his brain. And so this is affecting her, because she feels like this could be it, that he does have this, and
she's
like,
worried about him.
Exactly. So they're doing all the scans, like Riker says, that they've scanned to see if he's left the ship, and he hasn't. They haven't seen any temporal place issues out in space or anything that would kind of make him jump back and forth through time. During that time, he gets phone call from Starfleet, basically saying there's a fleet-wide yellow alert. The Romulan warbirds have diverted to the neutral zone, and they're all going around the spatial anomaly in the Devron system.
I love watching episodes and seeing where memes come from, because the one where he's got like he's looking at the pad and he's got his hands over his lips and like the ooh look. Mm-hmm. So when he's talking to the admiral. There on screen, and mm-hmm. I see lots of memes where he's going, and the memes like, oh my, stuff with him. Like, it's just fun seeing where memes come from in episodes.
Where memes are born. Anyways, so he
snaps back to the future, I think.
He goes back into the future where he's LaForge, and they decide to go to Data to Cambridge, where Data is inundated with cats in his Cambridge office.
Spot one, spot two, spot three, spot four, and spot five.
Yeah. And has this great housekeeper.
How many poems has he written about all those cats?
Oh, that'd be great. He's this great housekeeper, Giselle, who...
Your head looks like a skunk.
Yeah, and gives...
The bloody skunk.
Yeah, bloody skunk. And then he gives Picard Darjeeling tea instead of Earl Grey.
Yeah, he's like, this doesn't taste like Earl Grey.
This doesn't taste like Earl Grey.
And she goes,
of course it's hot.
He's like,
Of course it's hot. And then, yeah, she goes, ooh. And just leaves.
What do you want in it? And he's like, nothing.
She's the one with Alzheimer's.
I like how he does that, too. He's like, what do you want? Nothing. It's like, geez, just a question.
Yeah. He's the old person to the core. Although they didn't really do anything on him on old, they just gave him a beard.
Yeah,
they did a lot more with him in the what was the episode where he pretends to go back in time with the probe that makes him where he gets a flute.
Oh yeah, the flute one. Inner light.
Yeah, like, they gave him a lot of old makeup in that one. In this one, he's just got a beard.
Yeah, maybe because he did more acting in that. No. Well, anyways, so they're going to do some scans on him just to see if everything's all right. But during that, he shifts again, and he's back on the Galileo shuttlecraft with Tasha Yar, and then they come onto the Enterprise, and he's going to take command of the Enterprise when all of a sudden he sees the
Teletubbies again.
Teletubbies yelling at them again. And he decides to go to red alert and calls the battle station. Everyone's like, what the hell?
He goes to shake Troy's hand.
Oh, that's great.
And he starts seeing the Teletubbies. He's like, what's going on? He's like, red alert. I'm too socially awkward to shake hands.
Yes. So this is great. So he's back on the Enterprise. And he's looking at all the Enterprise models, which have, I think they took that down later on. All the different Enterprises that were hanging on the wall.
I just don't think they use that camera angle much after the first season.
You might be
first,
right.
Because in the first season, they show that camera angle a lot. And for some reason, there's kids on the deck one in the conference room in like the second or third episode.
Yeah.
It's really weird. It's like, why are there kids there?
Get that damn kids out of here. So anyways,
how are kids allowed above deck two? That makes no sense, especially when Picard hates kids.
Yeah, it's probably why he put his ship wide thing to get rid of the kids.
Like, jettison all the children.
No, not the children. Yes, the children. So Picard has a meeting, and he's asking for a security sweep, and he asks Worf to do it, and Tasha goes, excuse me, that's my job.
That's my job. He's like, oh, yeah, you've been dead for 6 years. Shit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you can do it, Tasha. It'll make you feel better.
If it makes you feel better. You're going to be dead in, like, 6 months from now. Whatever.
Just don't tango with the big tar thing.
That big tar monster. Anyways, so he goes to... so they do the security, and he's asking, like, Troy's, is there any alien presence you see?
And it's greater intelligence. It's like he's looking for Q, but not...
Yeah, he's like, this got to be Q, right? This is Q. And then he has... Chief O'Brien has a lot to do in this episode, more than he... probably had to do most other episodes.
He's got more screen time in this episode than I think the entire first season.
Exactly. Right. That's what I noticed as I started rewatching the first season after.
Well, apparently because they didn't pick up the engineer yet.
They didn't pick up Chief Argyle.
Yeah, who only lasted the first like, season.
Yeah. Even in the first season, you only saw him like a handful of times.
Really weird that they didn't have an engineer established.
I want to say less than 10 times you see Chief Argyle.
Oh, yeah.
He only comes up a very few times.
Barely in first season. It's so strange that you have Scotty, who's so prominent, and then you don't have a...
And then you have a show without a chief engineer for the first season. It's really weird.
How do you not do that?
How did he get away with building an engineering set if you didn't have a main engineer?
Yeah.
Like, because I don't know, it's so weird, because I think that was one of the problems with the TOS. Like, they needed, like, a engineering set, and they needed a... So that's why they made Scotty, like, the main engineer, so they could justify building an engineering set.
Well, then they're supposed to go to Farpoint, but all of a sudden there's a Starfleet alert that there's...
go to the Devron system!
Well, there's... Romulans are amassing their fleet to the neutral zone, and...
Jakar!
And they have orders to go to the neutral zone, and then he goes, no, we're going to Farpoint.
No, we gotta pick up Riker. And Beverly.
And they're like, what? But your orders are... He's like, I don't care about orders.
Orders are irrelevant.
And then he says he knows about the plasma inducers, because this must have been an issue back in the day. And he's getting
all the problems with the Enterprise fixed. He's like, here, put a lock on this where all these isolinear chips are, because in a day or two, the chief engineers, and I think it's funny to pull them all out.
Right.
Let's put a lock on this.
It'd be hilarious if you just foolproof, probably.
That would be hilarious.
And get Wesley out of here. Well, Wesley was at Farpoint.
Yeah. They're going to pick up Wesley, technically. But he wants to run into Q. And then he asks Data, like, is there a big barrier? And he's like, what? A space barrier, you know? Like, with walls in space. We're going to build it across Mexico. Wait.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. So, anyway, so they got...
Farpoint's in Mexico, if you didn't know.
That's where it is.
That's where it is.
I didn't know that. Yeah. They meet Data, and for the first time, and he's going to ignite the Midnight Petroleum to fix the problem.
Which is that would be inadvisable, Captain.
Chief. Anyway, so that we have a wonderful little exchange there between.
I love how Picard like smiles. It's like, oh, Data's being Data.
Data's the old Data again.
We can't say anything without him questioning everything we say. Oh, it's so squee. Like that's how he looks.
Yeah. Well, so they're fixing that, but now they're next into the observation lounge, and Troy's. Is there with him, and he's trying to put things back into, like, he's trying to remember how everything's working, like all the past things that is happening, and they start theorizing that about the temporal disturbance that they're going to see. Actually, I think I jumped forward quite a bit.
There's lots of jumping back and forth in this episode.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because he jumps back, and then Beverly's able to figure out that in his mind, he's accumulated 2 days of memories in a couple minutes.
That's right. Yeah. He gets to that point where he's. She's like,
She's like, okay, maybe something's going on because you just accumulated 2 days of knowledge in like a couple seconds. So, okay.
And while they're going to,
I love the suit, like the weird science in this episode. There's a lot of science in this episode.
Yeah, and they use terminology that's real. It's just like I think they just fudge things. Like, oh, you accumulated 2 days worth of memory in your
memory engrams. Yeah,
because science.
Science. Science. And then she gives him warm milk with a dash of nutmeg. Go to sleep.
And a dash of kissy-kissy on the desky.
She does, and I'm like, whoa, what is going on here?
It's about time. It only took 7 seasons for it to happen, finally.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it makes sense, and then, you know, Picard's got his other, like, couple loves he has here and there. But, like, it's few and far between.
Did you ever notice in Star Trek, especially Next Generation, that people's relationships seem very fluid and no one ever gets, like, really pissed off? You know, like, here we have the thing where, like, hey, we're going to have a long night. Troy, do you want to come and get, you know, get a bite to eat? And like Worf's like, actually, we got plans. He's like,
we're going to the holodeck to bone again.
Yeah, we're going to the Black Sea again. And they're like, he's like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's fine. You know, but it was like,
I feel like the whole Worf Troy thing came out of nowhere.
It did feel like went out. I don't know.
Did it start at this like at the beginning of this episode?
I feel like it sort of hinted at starting a couple episodes before Worf goes through that thing where he's in like 60 different time frames. And you get to see Crazy Woodsman, Riker, who's scared of the Borg, who's got the big bushy beard with like strawberries stuck in it. Like he's like he looks crazy. it's awesome. But I think they hint at them being in a relationship then, but like it's really solidified in this episode. And I want to say it's only those two episodes where their relationship's ever brought up, but it still feels like it came out of nowhere.
Right.
Especially since, you know, Troy and Riker get married.
Married later on.
Like three movies later.
Yeah, that's Insurrection, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it was a weird jaunt.
I think I want to say the only reason they did that was so they could have, like, the weird stigma between Worf and Riker in the future.
Right.
I feel like the only reason they did it was so they could have that weird, you know, hatred for each other when they've been friends for, like, 6 years. Like, they're literally best friends because Worf asks them to ritually murder him. Whenever.
Please murder me.
Please murder me. I can't walk again.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you're my best friend. Please murder me.
I'm not going to murder you, Worf. So,
it's like, well, maybe I'll get my son to do it. If you won't do it, I'll get my 2-year-old to do it.
It's literally just so distasteful. Anyway, so in the future, he wakes up and they're going to have to go to the neutral zone for this.
Check out the anomaly.
Yeah, the anomaly in the Devron system, but they bring up the Klingons took over the Romulan Empire, and then
I think that's fascinating that the Klingons were able to take over the Romulans.
I
always thought the Romulans would be more technologically advanced to be able to take out the Klingons, because I just don't see Klingons being very big on, you know, science. Since they like to drink blood wine and bang their heads together.
Maybe they got their shit together for once.
No more frat parties, guys.
No more frat parties.
We got to double down on science.
That's true. They do. So he asked, Picard asked Admiral Riker to give him a ship to go over there, but he says, absolutely not. It's not going to work. And he's like, I can't believe you wouldn't do that. And he says, well, go to hell.
Only one barrel of blood wine a week.
Can I just say that, like, Riker, like, looks like they had to do a lot of work to, like, you're talking about how Picard only had, like, a beard at it, but, like, they, like, made Riker look way older with, like, a ton of gray hair.
Yeah, he does look.
And, like, his whole face is coated in, like, an inch of makeup.
Yeah, there's a lot of makeup.
It is amazing.
It is amazing.
Poor Jonathan Frakes.
He's like, I'm half plastic.
He's like, oh, you think Worf has a lot of makeup? Look at my face.
Yeah. Well, Data brings up an option that because of their Atrellian plague, that they're. Can have medical ships going over there. So they call the USS Pasteur, which is commanded by Captain Doctor.
Someone I have influence with because I think we shared a bed once.
Captain Dr. Beverly Crusher. Now, does the
Beverly Picard.
Picard.
Yeah, she kept Picard. Now, if you are a doctor and a captain, which one is the first one that comes up?
Got to be Captain.
Captain Doctor. I'll go with that one.
I'm pretty sure everyone on the ship has like at least been trained in medicine, because I feel like that's what if you have on a medicine.
If you're on the Pasteur, you better be trained in medicine, or I don't know what you're doing there.
Either that, or we'd have Tom Paris be the the next in line to be doctor.
Right, exactly.
Because that makes sense.
Well,
I like to fly fast ships and garden.
So they.
Can I just say, like, she, like, aged well in this, like, whole thing versus everybody else?
She does look good. Beverly.
Oh, yeah.
But she, I mean, they definitely did.
They gave her a couple, like, lighter red streaks to hint at, like, sort of gray, but not quite.
Yeah, but they did a little bit of makeup on her face.
They did stuff on her neck.
Yeah.
Her neck, she had, like, some weird, like.
They gave her the old lady neck.
Old lady neck, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But her face was still pretty.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
That's all you can hope for. That's all I'm hoping for. All right. So I only have so long. So anyways. So they decide they're going to go. She agrees to it, but then they ask Worf, and Worf says he can't. But then they kind of twist
his arm. And then like Picard, like, is like, you've got more honor than this. And he's like, how come you always involve honor? He's like, because I know you so well.
Because I know you actually have honor. You're the one Klingon.
The only Klingon that knows what honor means.
Right, right. So
you did that whole discommendation thing because you thought it would bring honor to the Empire somehow.
Right. Next he goes. He's back on the old Enterprise. And he starts yelling to Q. Everyone's like, who the hell is Q?
That's just a letter in the alphabet.
I mean, the before the Farpoint mission crew must be thinking he is a lunatic. Like, I know they probably
totally think... Totally insane.
I mean, they might think Picard in the future's kind of crazy because his syndrome that he has. Yeah. But
they think he's super crazy in the past. Like, way more crazy in the past.
It's like, this guy's nuts. First he called Red Alert and we're still in dry dock.
We're being clamped by the spider hands. He's like, no, it's going to crush us. It's going to crush us, Red Alert.
And then he starts yelling to somebody named Q, which is the alphabet number, the letter.
No, it's the number of the alphabet. No!
Number Q.
So, but he basically figures Q's behind it. And like you said, they were trying to find the barrier.
Yeah, the barrier.
They ran into just before the encounter at Farpoint.
And Q sucks him back into the courtroom, which is amazing. I love the courtroom set. I love how that he comes out of that black void.
Yeah, they did
on
really
that,
well
on that. That throne that moves up and down, left and right. That is such a cool thing.
Like, I think it's just like a cherry picker lift. They use it for everything, and they just put a chair on it.
But it looks so cool.
Yeah. And then
coming out of that black void, I love it.
And it's really interesting. Now, was this supposed to be like something from the Eugenic Wars or something like that? Was that supposed to be the time period they're supposed to be portraying?
I think so. I think you said that.
I can't remember. It was so long ago since I've seen it.
I haven't watched a Counter-Four Point in a long time.
I have tried to watch a Counter-Four Point.
It's really hard.
It's very hard to watch. very hard.
I watched it recently.
Did you? Did you get through?
So what was it? Was it the eugenics wars? He said that the trial was from.
Like it's.
Say that again.
Because I thought that the trial took place at something part of the past, like around the eugenic wars, or maybe after World War III, or something like that.
Because he went through all these different uniforms from the different time periods,
right?
Oh, right.
And then
it says something about like I think Data or somebody says like when they're first in that courtroom. Like, oh, this seems to be from this time period. I don't remember what it was.
I want to say it was the eugenic wars.
Maybe if it wasn't, it was like around that time period, like after. But anyway, so.
Our future connections past.
Well, what's weird to me is
the Trump administration.
Yeah, exactly.
These people that are yelling in the courtroom are the same ones that he saw earlier.
Yeah.
And they're also the same ones that are in the first episode. And so for me, it's like. Okay, I is it because it's been 7 years that you didn't like put together that this was Q from the beginning from that?
Yeah, right. Well, he was old man, so it's probably been a lot longer than the.
It's yeah. I mean, yeah. It's been 25 years since the end of season 7, since when he's old man.
Right.
So he isn't
right.
But the thing is, like, but he also says he doesn't remember everything super clearly when he transitions. So maybe he just doesn't remember.
But it starts becoming more and more clear as time goes on. Well, Q says that he's never left the trial case. It's still going on.
It's an ongoing
trial. And of them being a savage race or something that to that nature.
We can play – we're going to play half of 20 questions.
Right.
So only 10.
And basically then he basically goes through all the things that's going on that, yes, Q is helping him jump back and forth in time.
It's not a Romulan plot.
It's not a Romulan plot or something for war.
And it has something to do with the original trial.
The original trial and the anomaly is caused by Picard. So that's as much as he knows. So. Yeah. But he doesn't know how he does it. So Picard's like, it's from me?
How am I doing this?
And
it's the only reason Picard does it is because Q made him do it, pretty much.
That's the thing. It's not. It's like he would have never done it anyway if Q hadn't been shifting him through time in the first place.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
But that's the point. It's the whole episode's a test to Picard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is great and awesome, and it's something I totally didn't realize because I watched this as it came on. I was a kid in 1994. I was 11.
I don't even want to talk about how old I was. Then he comes back. He's back on the current day Enterprise, and he calls a meeting. And he's basically, okay, Q's trick. He's using it, and they're like trying to figure out what Q's angle is, what he's trying to do. And
Q's always got an angle.
So basically, but he's like. Somehow we're going to cause humanity's destruction, and they have to figure out a way to do it. And it has something to do with the anomaly in the Devron system. So at the neutral zone, he talks to the Romulan Warbird.
Who's Jakar from Babylon 5, which I totally didn't realize until I read the Memory Alpha.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. Tom Malaka's Jakar. Oh, yeah.
Well, they both agree to send – they send their Warbird and the Enterprise to come – into the Devron system.
To check out the anomaly. I love it. He's like, Tom Locke's like, did our Starfleet command say this was okay? Picard's like, no. It's like, I like it already.
I like it
already. I love it. Such a Romulan thing to do. I love Tom Locke.
Well, what's weird is this whole, like, he's like, hail the Romulan ship, and then bam, he's in the future, and he's hailing Worf's ship.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
This episode is so well done.
Yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful. Absolutely. Back in the past, they decide that they aren't going to go to Farpoint, and he calls a young Riker, much thinner, beardless Riker.
Oh, which is a really funny. I feel like they just grabbed some stock.
Oh, they did. It's absolutely stock, and he doesn't even deliver the lines on screen. He's just
they flash back unless it's the line he's saying. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. So they say we're not going to make it, and they're going to the neutral zone. And Yar stays at the Devron systems in the neutral zone. He's like, disregard it, just go. And so they just go ahead and they take off to go to the neutral zone. And leaving Riker and Beverly and LaForge, I think.
Yeah, LaForge.
Still on Farpoint.
Yeah.
And anyway, so after there, they get to, they're all going in there, and they figure out a way to, if they send some...
a tachyon pulse from the deflector dish.
Yeah, they can kind of start analyzing the anomaly. And then they figure out
it's an anti-time explosion.
Right. So basically, time, it reverses.
So it's smaller in the future and bigger in the past.
Right. And they get to the point where when the Pasteur in the future reaches there, there's nothing there. And while they're waiting around doing scans, who gets attacked is by the Klingons. They start attacking.
Those are cool new Klingon ships, you see.
Yeah, they start attacking, and they basically wonder what's going on, like how they're going to make it because their shields are being completely obliterated. But then Riker comes up with the Enterprise with three nacelles.
I love everything about this. I love everything about this thing.
Thing of the whole episode.
When he blows up all the ships,
if they've got that giant
decloaks, it has a third warp engine. It's just like all this crazy stuff.
It's got that giant phaser cannon underneath.
Does have a big
underneath
cannon.
The saucer and attached mm-hmm. to the neck. The nacelles have extra phaser strips and then like an extra phaser cannon sticking out of it. Everything about this is beautiful.
Through. What was that?
And it just tears through the shields of the Klingon
ship. Straight hole. Up. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It is. Such an awesome scene.
It's pretty cool.
I feel like this episode had a really big budget because there's a couple shots of external ships like flying around planets or flying around space that look way better than regular TNG scenes around planets or space.
Right. Yeah, no, this is, they definitely did. They definitely kicked it up a little bit for this episode. The Pasteur was obviously hit pretty hard and they have a core breach. And so they beam everyone out.
Emergency beam out.
And then they beam all six people out.
Yeah, all six people from the bridge. And then Worf and Riker have a lover's feud. And Picard's like, you don't have time for this. They're having a warp core breach. We don't want to get caught up in that.
Right, exactly. So, and then they get them out, and the Pasteur explodes, and they start warp. You notice everyone's going warp 13?
Warp 13.
Which is...
Yes!
Warp 13. They go past warp 11.
Yeah.
So... what's up with that?
I don't know. I mean, like
they turn into lizards,
yeah,
into salamanders, well, and
either the warp scale was readjusted, or this is just the more reason why Threshold is a terrible episode.
Threshold's a terrible episode. There's no.
Or they have another traveler on there.
Oh, see, there we go. We're back to the traveler again.
Oh, Wesley's on the ship, just hugging the
traveler's leg. Take me with you. Take me with you.
Or just wrapping his arms around the warp core. He's like, go faster. Go faster! It's like we gotta go warp 13. It's like, Wesley, wake up! You gotta go hug the warp core. Like, do I really?
Oh, I'm having such a nice dream.
The plasma injectors don't feel good.
Plasma injectors. Anyways,
put them there.
My penis hurts. Wait, no.
No,
that's not what you're supposed to do with the injectors.
Keep the injectors away from you.
Damn it!
Well, next we have Picard. LaForge's vision starts coming back,
which is funny because like they're saying being near this anomaly is making time reverse for people, so people are losing scars and reverting back. But Geordi was born blind,
yeah.
So reverting back to a younger state isn't going to fix his eyesight. Also, they make the same mistake in Insurrection, where they say his eyes are growing back because the planet rejuvenates your cells,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
Like, he was born blind. His eyes should never grow back.
Maybe he's correcting some problem ahead in with it. Hmm. And, of course, the nurse, forgot her name. She
Ogawa! She's pregnant, and her baby regenerates back into a sperm and egg, and then they both just fizzle out.
Oh, that's sad.
That's really
sad.
Yeah,
that was hard.
It was hard.
That sucked. And then, like, it looks like, you know, Beverly's saying, oh, she's physically fine. She doesn't look physically fine. She looks like she's terrible. She's sweating and.
She's not sweating. She's crying.
She lost. No, but, like, she looks like she's in this, like other physical, other than being upset. She looks like she's physically hurt.
Oh, it's because she was jumping on a trampoline beforehand. Mm. So.
She gave herself the miscarriage. Gotcha.
So. Well, and if this was TOS, we could say that maybe the baby was going to come out a red shirt. So,
yeah.
Oh, okay, that's true.
She's doomed.
Doomed from the get go.
Doesn't have a chance.
He was born with a peanut in his brain, so he can't be a doctor.
It came out the baby from Eraserhead. All right. Okay, so then Q appears to Picard, and they take him back to the end of humanity, where basically the anomaly is now on Earth.
The entire – takes up the entire Alpha Quadrant.
And it's basically where the
primordial goo is that, not going
to
form.
Yeah, where we're actually the amino acids come together to form the first type of life form. Does not happen. They kind of float away from each other, and it does not happen. And so he's like, oh, so you...
You did this.
You destroyed everything. Good job. And Picard's like, what the heck is going on? So now he's really like, how am I... How have I done this? Like, what have I done? It's got to be completely perplexing.
Oh, yeah. That must have been so depressing. And like, what am I doing?
They do decide they can see through the anomaly that the tachyon pulses are all like converging. So he can figure that out. So because he's jumping back and forth in different time periods, he realizes now he's becoming more conscious of the time jumps. That everything that Data comes up with.
And in the future, there's no anomaly.
Right, but then it starts when they come back. I forgot to mention that. They come back and they head start. I wonder if the Pasteur's explosion started it.
Maybe.
They don't really explain why that happened, but it started right around that point.
Because they never did a tachyon pulse. They just were looking
and
around.
Yeah, there was an error. They were talking about, well, there's tachyon pulses coming from three Enterprises, and it's like, no, the first one came from the Pasteur.
Right. So that had to have been what was it? Or maybe there was such a pinhole or something like that, and it opened it up more further. So what they decided to do is Data comes up with this plan of if you make a static warp shell around the ships and they fly into the anomaly, that the static warp shells should somehow negate and shrink the anomaly. And with all three Enterprises warp shells, they would bring them.
So Picard's like, yes, I'll tell everyone that. We'll turn off the tachyon pulse and then we'll fly into it and create a static warp shell. And like, it just happens so perfect. He goes to all the time periods he needs to go to, and he gets the thing done. They all fly into it.
And which is probably the first Enterprise crew before Farpoint.
They're like, what the hell are you talking about? We're flying into this thing. We don't know what it is.
We don't even think you're all there, Captain. I'm sorry.
He gives this big old speech. He's like, you got to trust what I'm doing. It's for the greater good.
I know you're a great crew. You guys are awesome. He's like, yeah, we are awesome. All right, we'll do that. That's the worst speech, too. It's probably his worst speech in this whole episode. I don't know. I wouldn't buy it. I'd be like, no, escape shuttle.
He's like,
hit the escape button. I'm out. It's like, someone just launched an escape pod. I'll leave him.
So just steal shuttlecraft. That's so easy.
Oh, yeah,
to
you
do.
Just steal the shuttlecraft.
All the shuttlecrafts are gone.
Right. So they all go in. Of course, the warp shields or warp shells collapse, and one by one, the ships all just blow up.
They blow up from oldest time to newest time.
And
it's weird because you can see they can see each other in there at one point.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a really cool effect.
Yeah, when you're watching them all. They're like, ooh, that has three nacelles. Oh, that's just like ours. So, and then they all blow up. And
encounter,
then
Farpoint blows up. Tasha dies again.
Tasha dies once more. And then we have Picard back in the courtroom, and it's just him and Q.
He's face palming. He's like, oh my God. And make it stop.
Stop it. But he said, you stopped it. It was, with my help. Basically, I helped you through all these things and to get you through this.
I helped you, but I also was the cause of it because the Q Continuum said we should, make sure you're actually good.
Right. And then at the very end, we're back to when Worf and Troy were kissing or about to kiss, and Picard comes up asking,
what's the date? But I think it's funny because at the beginning of the episode, he asks Troy what the date is.
And Worf answers.
Worf answers. He should have asked Worf and then had Troy answer.
Right.
That would have been funny, but Worf answers both times.
And he laughs.
Either way, he's in those PJs again.
Yeah, he laughs. He goes, I should get to bed.
I should get to bed. I'll just think of you too.
So they kind of next thing they have the
poker scene
where they're all sitting around the table, and of course Picard comes, sits down, and he goes, I should have done this a long time ago.
I started crying like a baby.
Yes. Yeah. And
I was like, no, no.
And then that's basically it from those two episodes. Since you are a guest, Why don't you come? We usually do our thoughts and feelings, takeaways after watching these episodes. What was some of the things that stood out to you the most as watching this?
Sure. So like I said, when I first saw this, I was a kid, and I had watched TNG off and on. I don't feel like I watched it in order enough. It's that maybe, especially the earlier episodes, maybe like midway through the whole series. Mm-hmm. On. But yeah, by the time we were to this episode, it was like, oh, this is the last episode. That's crazy. They had started DS9, obviously, but I don't know. I didn't really keep up with DS9 right away, and I'm still like actually trying to catch up to DS9.
Nobody kept up with it in the beginning.
It was so hard to watch in the beginning. Yeah. Like, yeah. Emissary was such an amazing, like, they had one of the most amazing pilots. They had that huge fight at the beginning, mm-hmm. and then they had some really cool stuff. And then the second episode was like, what happened to Kira's hair? Why is she butch now? And, like, why is nothing happening the entire first and second season?
So, but besides DS9, which is a fascinating subject in itself. and so this was, when you saw it, obviously it was pretty profound when it happened.
So how'd you end up picking this episode if you haven't seen it since you were a kid?
Because I remember it. That's really what it comes down to.
It was just that
impactful?
Yeah, it was that impactful, and it's kind of silly, but the Enterprise scene when the Enterprise decloaks and, like, owns up the Klingon ships and like, the future Enterprise. And I just remember as a kid thinking, oh, my God, look at that thing. It's all beefed up, and it cloaks and stuff. And at the time, I was like, oh, it's like the Enterprise E or something, you know?
Right.
And I thought it was the Enterprise E for the longest time.
But, yeah, it's like... You know, for me, it's like, oh, it's like a new ship, so it must be like the next letter or whatever.
Right. And now, you saw this, but now watching it again, you know, revisiting it, what were probably the bigger standout moments for you watching, like, as you watched, like, that was really good, or this was weird, or, you know, anything in particular when you saw that at this episode one more time?
Well, in general, I tend to enjoy time travel. In any show, like, I will watch almost any show or movie that has time travel in it.
Cool.
So that was a big deal that he just was like going through time and stuff. But it still kind of sticks out to me that Q like makes it like this big thing, like, you did this, Picard. And it's like, no, you put him in this spot to do this. It's just like
right,
kind of silly. But yeah, at the very end, it was the bittersweet moment of, you know, everything's right again, but this is a cool episode, but it's also the last episode.
Yeah, for sure. Dave?
I gotta say, when I was a kid, I was 11 when this came out, I didn't realize this was the last episode. And then also, I had no idea what was going on in the episode. Like Jerrica, as a kid, the part that stuck out to me the most was definitely the Enterprise D uncloaking, having a third nacelle, having a giant phaser cannon, and just taking, you know, Klingon ships and taking names. It was amazing. And that stuck out to me so much. And the rest of the episode, I was just like, what? Because I was 11. Like, most of this episode just way over my head.
Right.
And then, like, you know, I don't remember the last time I've watched. I know I've seen it several times since then. But just watching this episode today, because I usually watch the episodes the day of, I usually watch it twice the day of, and, like, this episode just gets me in the feels so much. You know, I'm older now, and it's like the part with Tasha and the shuttlecraft, that got me. And then, I can't remember another time, but a couple times I teared up throughout the episode. And then at the very end, when he's, like, going to play poker, he's like, I should have done this a long time ago. I'm like, yes,
yeah, you should have, you jerk.
Oh my God, you love these guys. And so this episode is just so good, and like other than the Jerrica, other than the Enterprise looking awesome, do you remember anything about the episode? Do you remember being utterly confused? Because I was like, I don't know what's happening. This doesn't make any sense. And then, you know, older, it just makes. I'm like, oh, okay, I see what they're doing. Okay, yeah, exactly. Q's doing everything.
The whole like anti-time and like going backwards, the anomaly going backwards and stuff just went way over my head. I was. Gosh, I was in my teens, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, it still was just like, nope, that was the scene that really got me.
It's
that, and the static warp shell also reminds me of, like, I don't know if you guys remember like an old Atari game called Vanguard, but it's like a you had control of the ship thing, and then if you hold the joystick back, like you turn into this bubble that can go through things, but if you hold it too long, you blow up.
Oh, oh yeah,
that's what it reminds you of.
Static warp show. What about you, Aaron? So you were like in your 20s when this episode came out.
I was 20 years old in 1994. And, oh, God. And we had a party, I think, with some friends. That's what I recall. Like, we hung out. We all hung out with people, like a couple friends to watch this. Because it was, like, you know, the last show. And I remember just hanging out.
No one cared about Deep Space Nine, so you were all
cared about Deep Space. It was like we were confused. Like, what is that, Babylon 5 or Deep Space Nine? We couldn't tell the difference at the time. So it was very confusing. But anyways, it was a good episode. I remember seeing it. I think it was – I was confused because I wasn't paying too much attention as much the first time because I think there was a girl I liked. And I was paying attention to her more than the TV show. So anyways –
that's just how it goes though.
Yeah, but anyways, I can't quite remember. It was a long time ago. But anyways, but we – I've seen it quite a few times since then, and it is a beautiful – there's just nothing – the directing – is so well. Like, the scenes between Picard and Beverly is wonderful. Picard's acting as an old person, like I said, his mannerisms are just
flawless.
So well done. So fun to watch. Him playing the younger version of Picard, he must have gone back and watched a couple old episodes and seen how he delivered it. How he stood and how he acted, so because it's very different.
Well, they probably put him in the spandex uniform again. He had to stand that way.
Well, I just meant everything, just how he his mannerisms. Those were wonderful. The funny thing is, there's a couple of things that you think that because you can go forward into generations. Like Riker says, like, "Well, I couldn't mothball her. She was, you know, that's a good thing about being an admiral." You know, so he kept the Enterprise and just threw a couple more nacelles on it and stuff like that. It's like, you know, but my joke I had in my head after the very end scene where he's dealing out the cards and he goes, "And next week I'll be crushing the Enterprise."
Deanna Troi, she crashes the Enterprise.
Well, you know what I mean, but you know.
Well, instead of, or no, next week I'll be asking Worf for a really obscure way of, you know, finding a weakness of a, you know, old bird of prey, a 100-year-old bird of prey, but I won't remember to rotate the shield frequencies to keep them from penetrating her shields.
Well, which is, it's all very interesting because, like you said before, you know, that they wrote that movie and then they also wrote this episode. And it's like, couldn't they tie that in a little bit better? They must have known all this was coming down the pipeline.
They started shooting the movie 10 days after they finished shooting this episode.
So if the script was done for the movie and the script was done for the TV show, why wouldn't they tie it in with a little more thought?
I don't know. But I mean, like, I was reading the MMA Alpha, and Patrick Stewart was super stressed because, like, he had so much to do this episode and doing all the time periods and all the costume changes. He had a lot of hard time, and they had all these like press junkets happening because the show was ending, and they were getting ready to do a movie. Mm-hmm. So they had all this extra stuff, all this extra pressure. So he was like super extra cranky, which maybe actually helped him play an old person better, maybe.
Right.
But it's just, and then I read that the cast had like a 10-day break between the end of this, the beginning of the Generation.
Well, they probably super psyched because it was like, oh, we're finally in the movies. Could you imagine how awesome that felt?
I mean, at the same time, yes, but also they just came off of shooting 27 episodes of a television series.
Sure, but
that's like, you don't get much of a break when you're doing that.
Big check, big coin. You're like, I think I can handle that.
But I mean, like, it's still really intense shooting because I mean, most shows nowadays don't go that long. Yeah. I mean, you've got Supernatural and you've got a couple other shows that run, you know, 20-something episodes. But most shows are like 12 or less now.
And that's the other thing is really weird. It's like, I mean, nowadays it's a little different. Of course, I mean, you have The Simpsons that ran. It's still going on, and it started before Next Generation. But that was a long show. You know, 7 seasons is pretty long, and it was pretty, you know, pretty popular at the time, you know. So it was like that ending was like, you know, people were looking forward, you know, and kind of upset that it was ending at the same time. So, you know.
I think Voyager was getting ready to start up right soon after it, though. So they had like another Star Trek show. Like, I really hope that with Star Trek Discovery and all this other stuff happening to us soon, that I hope we have this other golden era of Star Trek. Because, I mean, I kind of wish I was older back in the 90s so I could have appreciated it more. Because I was a kid. Like, I didn't appreciate it the way I would have appreciated it now. Because I was a kid, so, like, you know, they had Next Generation, and then they had, you know, Deep Space Nine. They had Voyager. There was movies happening all the time. Like, every couple of years, there was a movie. But there was always Star Trek and television when I was a kid. And then you had Enterprise, and then since Enterprise ended, like, we haven't had anything but three movies in the past, like, 12 years.
No, I know. I mean, yeah, we've definitely been kind of a drought for Star Trek. But I guess my point was when that time period was, I mean, we were there was a glut of Star Trek for sure. I mean, like, the movies, Star Trek VI.
Like, most of every, like, you know, Star Trek 700-something episodes, most of that happened in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Like, most of what is Star Trek happened before 2000.
Yeah.
That just, like, hurts my head thinking about it. It was 700-something episodes.
It was a wonderful time, and it was funny because it was, like, there was a point where I couldn't keep up with all of it. There was, you know, because I had some menial job. I think I was working at a convenience store or something like that, and I was, like, you know, trying to catch Deep Space Nine when I could and, like, trying to catch, you know, Voyager. And so it just was a weird time. You're just trying to catch up with it. And there was, like, you couldn't DVR things. You couldn't, you know, Netflix it was not a thing, you know. So
and because, like, Star Trek was so weird back in the 90s, because I mean, Star for me, you know, TNG was an entirely syndicated show, which was unheard of. Mm-hmm. Where I lived, the syndication came to Fox. I lived in Louisiana, so we watched it on Fox local television. We didn't have cable, so it was like one of the local channels that we got. Like, there was freaking Zydeco dancing live band show music on before Next Generation.
Man, I would love to see that.
I lived in Louisiana.
I would love to see that. Like, it sounds so fascinating. So
we'd flip to the channel. There'd be, like, live people playing, like, accordions and something like that. People dancing to Zydeco music.
Did they have
music.
The washboard thing on their chest? Like,
also, yeah. They had,
oh, man, I love those things.
The total Zydeco music thing happening.
There's a Zydeco band around here. It's called, I can't remember the name.
Really?
Yes. We should go see them.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
No, but, like, it was like at a place in Lafayette, which was the big city near where we lived, and, like, they just, like, filmed, like, the local Fox affiliate just filmed there, and that was on, and then Next Generation was on Fox, and then I don't remember what channel Deep Space Nine was on, but UPN, I think by the time Voyager started,
but
it wasn't on cable, so we had to, like, disconnect cable and switch back to, like, antenna to get UPN.
Okay.
So it was really hard to watch. It was really hard to keep up with Star Trek in the 90s because it wasn't on regular channels, or Deep Space Nine wasn't, and neither was Voyager.
Not everybody was living in the bayou like you were.
Living on the bayou. That's where people talking like, hey, blah, blah, blah. Needing a crawfish.
Yeah, no, 90s was a weird time.
It was a really weird time for television. So it was hard to keep up with all of it.
Yeah.
So I didn't follow Deep Space Nine or Voyager really hard until it was available on torrenting and then eventually available on Netflix.
Yeah. But it was pretty... This is a profound episode. I mean, there's no getting around it. If you don't like this episode, then you can, like...
You got something wrong with your head, boy.
Yeah, you can just, you know, fuck off. I don't want to talk to you.
You're raised in a bayou like me.
Well, whatever happened to, like, how did Troy die? I don't think they ever said.
Yeah, they never get into that.
They never explained that. That's a good point. Like, I feel like the only reason she died was so they could have, like I said, a
rift.
Like a contention, you know, the rift between, you know.
Well, but the thing is, too, you know, obviously.
She got an STD from one too many aliens sleeping with her.
No, but Data mentioned that point that obviously these timelines don't impact each other.
But they don't.
Right,
so he could have told them anything in the original for the far point crew.
It would be nice if he found out how she died, so she could say, "Don't do this,
Tasha. If you're ever with a slime creature that's all black, don't just leave. Don't stay.
Don't try to attack it. Don't try to attack it. Just ask for a red shirt to come down and another security officer.
And if you ever meet Shooter McGavin, say yes.
Say yes, please.
You should eat shit for breakfast. I love that Shooter McGavin was in Star Trek. So, yeah, so this is a wonderful episode. I mean, there's no getting around it. It's just a classic, and there's nothing you can really... I mean, besides a few stupid little things that I, like I said, the marriage between generations in this should have been just a little tighter.
I think it could have been if the studio didn't say you've got to have Kirk, you've got to show stuff from the Kirk time period.
Okay, look, Generations is a hot mess, period. I mean, there's no getting around it. It's nice that it came out and it was exciting because you're like, oh, they're kind of passing the torch and stuff like that, but it's obviously an inferior movie.
Well, it was an odd-numbered Star Trek movie.
Yeah, of course.
So it was doomed from the beginning, right?
But that being said, it still was like, you know...
I just would love to see what it could have been if the studio like wasn't like giving Ronald D. Moore... and Brandon Braga a giant checklist of things you have to do in this movie to make
I mean, obviously...
There was no need to pass the torch. They should have been a TNG movie through and through. There's no reason to have Kirk get crushed by a bridge and or get shot in the back, which was the original way he died.
I kind of like that Kirk died, though. You know I'm a huge fan of Kirk, and I kind of like that a hero dies at the end. And, you know, because I don't think a guy like Kirk could live forever. You know, I don't think he rides off in the sunset. I think he gets shot by somebody. Like Harry Houdini gets punched in the stomach by some guy in the street and dies. You know, that's exactly what happened. Like, because he had that trick where you would tense up his muscles and they would punch him as hard as they could and he wouldn't affect him. Some guy just walks up randomly and just whacks him in the stomach as hard as he can. Like,
right through. Yeah.
And he's like, and then he dies of internal bleeding that night or something like that. So, I mean, it's like, it's tragic and it's... It just seems like a guy who lives that close to the edge constantly.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, the stakes and the problem is, like, if he died for something that was a little more tangible, it would have felt more worth it. It was like, oh, they're humanoid race on X planet that we don't know about and never see, never can care. It's like the whole Episode 7 thing when the Starkiller base destroys like 6 planets. It has no impact whatsoever.
I agree.
Because if you don't see anybody and you don't know anyone.
If Malcolm McDowell's character in Generations was going to, you know, blow up planet Earth with the Nexus or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it would mean totally different.
It would have been like, you know, Kirk's dying to save Earth. That would have been way better. Or like, Andoria, something that we know and care about. This was a race we've never heard about, never seen, and we'll never see. And they're like pre-warp. They're pre-warp civilization. Like, they're dying for nobody, basically.
They're dying for nobody. Let them die. Well,
time is like a time. But Malcolm McDowell is so good. I love Malcolm McDowell so much. I'm so sad that he's in such an inferior movie. He's such a good actor.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good parts in Generations. It's just not a good movie altogether.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wish they kind of married those together a little better. I mean, doing the math when that all came out, you figure they'd be like, let's get this so it's just like seems like it's seamless, like, you know. So we ended.
And they brought the Jura sisters back, and then we haven't seen them in decades.
Jura sisters, I do not like. I know you like the Jura. I do not like the Jura. They seem just like thugs.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, but that's my take on it. I wish they would have done a little bit more.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, and they kind of, I mean, I feel like they had to pass the torch a little bit, at least to get all the TOS fans in on that last movie.
Yeah, the last hurrah.
Yeah.
But it was such a bad way of doing it, though.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
It's like, oh, let's get all the TOS fans in on it, and then we're going to kill, like, their hero. That seems like a bad idea.
But there was... Then, after all that, after Star Trek VI and, you know, the Generations and everything...
I feel like that would have been a better end for Kirk instead of just killing him randomly.
There was these rumors that were going around forever, and I don't know if there's anything to substantiate them, but that they were going to do Sulu in command of the Excelsior.
That would have been awesome.
That there was going to be...
I've heard those rumors.
That there was going to be Sulu in command of the Excelsior, and there was going to be, like, that... Would have been so damn cool to have a couple seasons of that.
I just wish Deep Space Nine had a movie, like to tie up, because the season, like since we're on the season finale of Next Gen.
Yeah, the season finale of Deep Space Nine was a couple Yeah, it was a couple series, a couple episodes, wasn't it? They kept on, like, they had a couple different, I can't remember. It's been a while.
It just felt like it was so rushed.
Yeah.
Like, it just, like TNG's finale just felt good and perfect, because all the, they didn't have a strong arc. But, like, since Deep Space Nine had a stronger arc, especially in the last couple of seasons, like, everything felt super rushed at the end. Mm-hmm. Like, them killing Gul Dukat, and then, you know, Sisko becoming a full prophet and going off to where the prophets are, and then being like, well, you know, he could be back yesterday because he's a prophet, you know, because he doesn't stick with linear time.
Nothing's more rushed than Enterprise's end.
Well, yeah.
Because it got canceled.
That's true.
Well, no, but then TOS, I don't even count TOS because it was such a flash in the pan, you didn't expect it. Turnabout Intruder is a terrible episode.
That's true, but I mean, like, did they really have, like, in the 60s, did they have episodes that, like, tied anything up?
No.
I feel like shows just ended. Like, there was no, like...
Well, Mary Tyler Moore, I think, had a nice ending to it, but that's about it. Cheers did, but Cheers lasted for a long time.
Yeah, I watch shows like Get Smart. I've never seen Get Smart in order, so I have no idea what the last episode was.
I would not know.
I love Get Smart.
He threw his shoe phone into the lake.
That was the end. It was so sad.
Would you believe?
and then they had the movie Get Smart Again. It was a TV movie. And John DeLancey was in that.
Wow. I'm glad you tied that all together.
Thank you. Because I can do it.
Yeah, wonderful episode. There's nothing to complain about this episode whatsoever.
Anything else about the episode, Jerrica?
No, I think we pretty much covered it.
We've exhausted this!
pretty much.
So, other than Dragon Con, do you have any other upcoming cons that you'd like to talk about that you will be attending?
Yeah, so we'll be at Stockton Con in California. Stockton, California is a smaller one. Abby and myself will be there. We'll be also part of the Geek Fashion Show, walking runway for that as well there. And we'll have a booth and a panel there as well. And then we're also probably attend Geek Girl Con in Seattle in October. And then Jet City Comic Show. It's a smaller one in Tacoma, Washington as well in November. So that's kind of the rest of the year's cons lined out.
Do you drive in, like, the Mystery Mobile, like, from Scooby-Doo?
Mystery Machine?
Drive around? It'd be kind of cool. You should figure that one out if you don't.
Well, that way she could hang up all the cosplays and the racks in the back.
It'd be awesome. You know,
I do want to cosplay Daphne at some point.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Daphne, yeah.
I mean, she's purple, so I have to.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in purple right now. Anyone listening to this can see that.
You have to wear the pink neck scarf. And she's got the green headband.
Yeah.
I think I got that right. So I watched a lot of Scooby-Doo.
I watched a lot of Scooby-Doo, too.
Yeah. That and Gilligan's Island, which does not help you.
Sit back and we'll hear a tale, a fail a faithful trip.
Gilligan's Island does not help you in any manner whatsoever.
Especially with women.
Except hammock protocol.
Yeah.
How many times did he fall in the skipper every time he got in his hammock?
All the time?
All the time? It was kind of homoerotic, actually.
Yeah. And then you've got, you know, Marianne and Ginger. Woo! and then, like, Voyager is basically the Gilligan's Island of Star Trek. I wish Voyager would have started off with that song. Sit back and hear a tale of faithful trip.
They should have done that once.
It started from this Deep Space Nine port aboard this tiny ship.
They should have done that. That would have been. And if. Oh, wait a second. If Janeway act like the skipper, who would act like Gilligan?
Chakotay.
Chakotay act like Gilligan.
7 of 9 is definitely Ginger.
Ginger, yeah.
B'Elanna is Marianne.
Professor,
doctor's
professor,
the professor.
Oh yeah, totally.
Neelix is
Thurston Howell.
Thurston Howell and Kes is his wife.
Kes
is the wife.
Oh,
it lines up perfectly.
It actually is. Wow. Is there a Reddit thread for this? What was that?
We should make that like a YouTube video or something.
Man,
we should, the Synthaholics version of Voyager. We'll have to like write lyrics to the song.
It wouldn't be that hard to do, though.
Just reenact it. There's got to be a Reddit thread that's like kind of like plats this.
We'll have to like we'll have to collaborate this with the guys at Artful Gremlins. I'll have to like get them in on this.
Yeah, definitely.
That'd be a lot of fun. So, thank you so much for joining us, Jerrica. It was so much fun. Where can people find you on the ye olde social media?
Yeah, thanks for having me. So on Facebook, I'm Jerricandra Cosplay. On Twitter, Jerricandra Lurve, L-U-R-V-E. And then on Instagram, just Jerricandra.
Awesome. Very nice.
Oh, and YouTube, Jerricandra Cosplay as well. I do weekend video logs and some other random informational videos as well.
Cool.
Nice.
Very nice.
Well, Dave Wilkes does our intro. The rest of our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. You can find the show at syntholics.com. You can email us at syntholics@yahoo.com. Join the Facebook group at facebook.com/group/syntholics.
We have a lot of fun on the group.
Group's a lot of fun. We post memes, silly things, non-Star Trek things, and actual real science sometimes.
When it applies.
Usually space science or things that NASA does.
Yeah, I usually do the NASA stuff like that.
Thank you for keeping us, you know, not all silly all the time, Aaron.
It's not all dick jokes.
Mostly, but... no, it's a joke.
All right.
Go ahead.
If you can, we would greatly appreciate it if you visit our Patreon. Throw us a buck. What's a buck a month? Buck a month.
Thank you, Jerrica. You are one of our Patreon members.
Thank you very much. Yeah. If you, you know, with a cup of coffee, you know, going to McDonald's, whatever, you know, it's less than that. It helps us keep the thing, our
web host, the website running, the show coming to you guys.
Absolutely. So it's wonderful if you can. If that's not in your budget, we do certainly understand. We would also ask that if you have the time, go on to Apple iTunes. If you could rate and review us, give us 5 stars just if you so choose.
And write a few kind words. Or, you know, honest words, you know, we can we'd love to improve if you guys think there's a way.
And if
we
you don't
improve.
Like us, tell us a lie. like most women in my life, tell me a lie. So, yeah, definitely do. And let us, if the more people rate and review, it helps the algorithms in iTunes, which seems to feed all podcast
all
rankings
you know, through
some strange reason.
Stitcher, Google Play.
Not sure how that all works, radio. But it does. And then lastly, if you know a friend who likes Star Trek, who likes sci-fi, who likes podcasts, let them know about Synthaholics. Say, hey, you know, if you're looking for a new podcast, check out Synthaholics. They have interesting shows. They try to get interesting guests. And we talk about subjects that maybe you want to hear and expound upon.
Yeah, all things Star Trek, all the shows, even the animated series here and there.
Oh, I love the animated series.
The Magics of Magus, too. You cannot forget that turd of an episode.
We're going to bring that back. We're going to do another animated series soon. I have to. It's in my bone. I'm such a corny person.
Well, as far as social media, you can find me personally at David_J_Duncan on Twitter, Aaron at Blackbird2004, Guy Davis at GS Davis Art. And the show on Twitter at Synthaholic Duo. Absolutely. And for things I post, I post things on Instagram. I'm also David_J_Duncan on Instagram. I post
mostly him drinking
booze. I post lots of booze,
and
on
then
there.
Him falling down an alleyway drunk.
Yeah, that one's not off that night.
Delete.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. And then thank you again, Jerrica, for joining us tonight. It was such a pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
Live long and prosper.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever
had. Awesome. Thanks so much for having coming on. And
for having us. Thank you for having us on
and,
the show, Jerrica.
While putting up with my late ass.
No, it's totally fine. It's early over here. You know, it's like 8:30 now, so...
8:30.
Yeah, you got the whole day
it's
in front of you.
It's almost midnight.
It's almost, yeah, it's 11:30 here. It's like late night.
Yeah. Hopefully have you on again sometime if you want.
Yeah.
If we didn't scar you for life.
DS9 and Voyager to try to figure out what episodes I might want to
do. Yeah, pick one of those favorites that you like. And if you want to get into the animated series, I would love to talk some trash on animated series. It's so silly, stupid.
It is.
Is that on Netflix?
Yes.
Is it like Archer or something?
Oh, it's,
it's Kirk. It's got William Shatner, Nichelle Nichols, Leonard Nimoy, all doing the voices.
It's literally it's terrible. It's so bad, but it's hilarious.
It is really bad. Like they had this really weird situations. Like the first one we did was Infinite Vulcan, and
watch Infinite Vulcan. Hilarious.
It's so weird. Like there's the giant asparagus people.
They're literally walking. They're talking asparagus.
So it's bad on purpose, is what you're saying.
I don't think it meant on purpose.
I don't think so. No,
but you watch it and you're like, this is terrible.
It was written by Walter Koenig. And at the end, for some reason, Sulu does a backflip on somebody, and Kirk's like, "Oh, Sulu, you have to teach me that backflip." And then Sulu's like, "Well, Captain, you have to be inscrutable to know how to do that." And he's just like, "What?"
And he's like, "I'm the most unscrutable person you know." I'm like, "What? Was that a sex joke or was that a vocabulary joke? Because I'm not sure what's going on here."
Was it the word of the week to try to get children to go to the dictionary and look it up?
Oh, it's
and like
terrible.
The magics of Magus 2 is such a bad episode. And they bring up all these crazy devil lore. Seriously, satanic lore.
There's satanic imagery in this. It's hilarious.
And lore about different kind of demons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Data's brother?
What's that?
Lore like Data's brother.
Not that lore. But that would be interesting if you showed up.
But I think Asmodan was one of the demons of hell or something. Like they bring up these weird names that that Aaron does great research on. He's like, "Oh, this is this person." And I'm like, "Whoa, I can't believe they would have mentioned this in this episode."
It's super, super into satanic ritual. It's just hilarious. Anyways, if you just want to torture yourself for about 20 minutes, it's hilarious.
It's their episodes are 22 minutes and they feel like they're longer than an hour.
You're like, "Has this been an hour? Oh my God, it's been
it's
10
only
minutes.
Been 10 minutes.
I'm literally dying here.
I'm dying on the inside."
But it's great. I love talking about it because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, so if you find an animated series episode you want to talk about, we'll definitely do that. And, any other series,
Or we could do Voyager or Deep Space Nine.
Yeah,
or whatever.